getting it wrong and passing it along. I have, really no technical knowledge of music. I've had good opportunities over the years to try to learn it, but I never took advantage of it. And so that my knowledge of how to sing a song pretty much relies on the way I learned it and heard it. Now, the problem with that is if I hear it wrong, then I'm going to sing it wrong if I try to lead it. Now, if somebody else is leading, I can correct myself and follow as they're leading it. And so if I get it wrong, I'm going to pass it on along, and that's going to be wrong too. And so that happens in a lot of areas, but in a very important one. With respect to the Bible, there are people who get it wrong and they pass it along. Peter talked about them. Now, he talks about some over here in the third chapter of 2 Peter that are deliberately getting it wrong. And I'm not suggesting that everybody that ends up with a wrong concept about the Bible has done so deliberately. There's a lot of things that could have come into play. But now Peter is talking about, and just comes right out and says in verse 16, that in Paul's letters there are some things that are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. So we can say it's pretty important to get it right and then pass that along rather than getting it wrong and passing along something that's not true, because, as it says here, they will do that and wrest the scriptures or twist them to their own destruction. So it's kind of important that we get it right. So how does that happen? Well, we're going to talk about that. It seems that there's little knowledge of the Word of God on the part of most people, and unfortunately some Christians fall in the same category. And I have sat through Bible classes sometimes in different places where I've been that really there was not a lot of learning going on. It was more of a pooling of ignorance. Nobody seemed to know anything about it. I'm not opposed to illustrations, but sometimes I've known Christians that basically every one of their comments consists of, well, you know, there was this guy at work, and he did thus and so, and that doesn't always contribute to any kind of a learning process that's supposed to be taking place in the Bible class. And so it ends up not being the best thing. And ignorance, as this text in 2 Peter indicates, scriptures misunderstood, that can be kind of deadly. So we don't want to be ignorant of it. What you don't know can hurt you, in spite of the fact that sometimes it's popular to think otherwise. My people, Hosea 4:6, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, their lack of knowledge was deliberate on their part. They didn't want to know. And hopefully that doesn't describe any of us. I don't think it does. Well, how does someone get it wrong? One way is by placing too much confidence in men and what they say. As most of you know, I've got a few books in my library there. But I have to remind myself that they're just written by men. So that really their idea of what that passage might be talking about may or may not be right. And I should not depend entirely upon that. I made a statement a long time ago that Jane picked up on real fast. I said, really, I only need one book, and that's the Bible. Of course, after services, she said, well, why have you got all them others then? You got to be careful what you say sometimes like that. Wives just really pick up on that. But they're written by men, but there's some value to them. So long as I don't use them without questioning what they're saying. Bible scriptures need to be used. The Bereans, what did they do? They searched the scriptures to see whether these things were so. And that was the preaching of Paul. So it's important that we know what the scriptures say, that we don't just take somebody's word for it. And sometimes people only know what some preacher believes about it. They know how he views a particular passage, and so that's about all they know about it. They really never challenge themselves to learn for themselves, to really look at it in detail. Consider what that man has to say, yes. But not just accept it because, well, he's an awfully smart guy. He must be right. Paul made that point to this terribly divided group of Christians in Corinth who were following after men. Who then is Apollos? What's Paul? They're just servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. They're just men. View them that way. In chapter 4, verse 6, he says, in the case of him and Apollos, I don't want you thinking of us above what is written. So is it wrong to use these other books? No, it's not wrong. But remember, don't just accept what they say because they seem to be pretty smart. They can be wrong. They could have reached the wrong conclusion for an entirely good motive, but they may still be wrong. The Word of God is not always reverenced. It's not really given the high esteem that it should be. Of course, skeptics, agnostics, atheists, they don't see any sense to it whatsoever. It all seems kind of foolish to them. It's interesting that there's an account of an atheist by the name of Robert Ingersoll having a conversation with a Baptist preacher. Now, this preacher, of course, was taking the position that salvation is by faith only. Here this atheist tells him, of course, I don't believe in God and I don't believe that Bible is the Word of God. But if I did, I would certainly be teaching that baptism is essential to salvation because that's what that book teaches. So he could have learned something even from an atheist. He wasn't going to accept it as an atheist, but he could see what the truth was. And so that's the outcome of that one. The Bible is inspired. That's nothing surprising to all of us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The Word of God is quick and powerful, like a two-edged sword. That's how powerful it is. And it's inspired. It's a unique book. Paul said it leads to salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is God's power unto salvation. So we're talking about, obviously, a very important book. And we want to get it right. We want to be careful that we don't get it wrong, because when we get it wrong, we pass that along. And then someone else believes something that's wrong, too. By the way, that another scripture comes into my mind on that point. That's why James said, there be not many teachers. And we've all talked about this passage before. He wasn't trying to say, you better not teach. I don't want you to have a goal of being a teacher. That's not his point. Because the context shows what he wants people who are going to teach to understand is they have got a very important obligation to make sure that what they're teaching is right. That what comes forth from them as a teacher is right. Because others are going to be influenced by it. It's one thing to believe something yourself, but quite another to try to influence others. One place where I was preaching, right out of the blue in a Bible class one day, one of the men, in answer to a question about drinking, said that he believed it was okay to drink as long as you didn't get drunk. Took all of us back a few steps. I had known him for probably 20 years at the time. I couldn't believe he said it. And the thing was, he wasn't trying to justify drinking. He didn't drink. You know, he could have kept that to himself. Now, he would have been wrong in his belief, I think. But nobody else would have known about it. But once he brought that forward, then he's accountable for the influence he's having on others. And we had quite a mess over that one. How does one get it wrong? Well, they don't reverence the Word of God. They put too much confidence in men. Well, how well do we know it? How do we get this? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Paul said in Ephesians 3, verse 4, with regard to the mystery, whereby when you read, you will understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So it is understandable, as we pointed out already. And it comes by hearing. Our faith rests upon our hearing, our listening to God through that written word and doing then what it said. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is admonishing him. It really is a little bit longer scripture than that, but we'll just look at verse 13 here right at the moment. He says, until I come, give attention to the reading of scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Exhortation, exhorting people to follow what they're learning, what they're reading. And this reading and studying precedes our understandings and our obedience. It has to be that way. We can't obey God without coming to an understanding of what God wants us to do. The 119th Psalm is one of the longest psalms, and now verse 9. I shall walk... Nope, wrong chapter. Sorry about that. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. That's the way. That's the way we have to do it. Psalm, same psalm, number 130. Verse 130, in that the unfolding of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. There's how we understand, through the word of God. What if we fail to know God's will? That's serious. We will remain as babes in Christ. You baptize a person, they become a Christian, they're a baby. Just like one born into the world physically, they start out as babies, there's nothing they can do about it. That's just the way it is. But, spiritually speaking, they don't remain babies. As newborn babies, Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word, you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, is the provision God has made in the church for us to receive edification. Bible classes is nothing more than a means by which the church chooses to edify itself. Everybody can meet in one room and have a class teaching experience going on there. But that's the church edifying itself, building itself up, providing opportunity for the members to become more knowledgeable. I've heard the argument made down through the years that, well, preacher, you can't show me where I have to come on Wednesday night. I say, really? The church is supposed to provide for edification, is that right? That's right. And so our classes on Wednesday night is a means of the church providing that teaching, that edification, is that right? Well, that's right. But you're saying you don't have to be there for it? That God has provided for something in his word to take place, but somehow or other you're going to exempt yourself from a scriptural work of the church? Chew on that for a while. If we fail to know it, we may be in the same position these people were in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They believed a lie. It says God sent them a strong delusion, and some of them believed it. And as a result of that, they were going to be lost. 2 Timothy 2, verse 10 through 12. With all the deception of wickedness to those who perished because they did not receive a love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send a strong delusion so that they might believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe in truth but took pleasure in wickedness. Very, very important. We must know the will of God. We've got to get it right. We don't want to get it wrong and pass it along. All right, now let's talk about this passing along business. So we got to get it right. We get it wrong if we don't study or if we put our faith and trust in men. So it's passed along. Here's the role of the teacher. The teacher, as James 3:1 says, he's to impart knowledge. My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing there shall receive greater condemnation. Greater condemnation because they're affecting the lives and souls of others. So the teacher is to be here imparting the knowledge. Everything is to be done in word or deed. The emphasis of the teacher, whether he be the preacher or some other teacher, is to emphasize the authority of the word of God. We do all things through him, by his authority, because he has all authority that has been given to him. So that's the role of the teacher. Take this information which you've learned and impart it to the students. Now, the role of the student. Listen. question. You mean I should question what I'm being taught? Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember my younger sister went through a period of, she was an adult by now, married, had kids. She went through a period there where she was starting to question some things, even that far into her life. Well, that wasn't a bad thing, because as a result of that, it firmed up her conviction. Now, she never did forsake the Lord or anything, but she would just had some questions. Well, are we sure that we're right about this? Are we sure this is right? And as a result of her questioning, she became stronger. She raised questions, asked questions. But once we do that, we listen, we question, eventually we have to accept it and obey it, however tough it might be to do that. And then we defend the truth. Be ready to give an answer, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, for the hope that is within you. Sanctify Christ in your hearts as Lord, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is within you. Be ready. People ask questions. Be ready if you can with an answer. If you can't, just tell them, you know what, I don't know the answer to that question, but I'll get back to you on it. There's no shame in that. I did that on a radio program more than one time. I said, you know what, I don't really know everything I'd like to know about that before I can answer your question. You listen in again tomorrow, and we'll take it up then. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as we're continuing to seek to have the knowledge when we teach other people. Pay attention to context as you study the Word of God. Well, what's the context? Well, it could be a few chapters, a few verses. And ultimately, of course, the context of any Bible doctrine is the whole Bible itself. Ultimately, it goes out that far. You want to search through everything that God has said on the subject. Someone said one time, a text without a context is a pretext. In other words, you can just about go anywhere you want to with it. But again, we're reminded of these scripture twisters that Peter talked about, who take the words of Paul and twist them to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. Here's something important. Never remove the key of knowledge. Now, what do we mean by that? Over in Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, one of the things that the priests were indicted for, it's kind of hard to believe, but they were hiding the knowledge. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you've turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of God. The priests weren't doing their job. And in Luke 11, verse 52, Jesus accused, I think it was the lawyers on that occasion, of taking away the key of knowledge. Again, they were in a similar position as those priests. You should be able to look to them for knowledge. They weren't putting it out. Certainly what they did put out wasn't always right. Our goal is not simply to proselytize somebody, to just get them into water so that we can claim, well, we've had another baptism. That's not enough. Our goal is not to get them to make sure they agree with us on everything without studying it. We want them to study. We want them to come to the conclusion of what the Bible teaches for themselves. We don't want them to just take our word for anything. So there's some challenges here before us. Handling God's word accurately. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. And it's got to be handled right because of the consequence, again, of getting it wrong and passing it along. We will affect the souls of others. So we got to get it right. And it takes due diligence in order to do that. Remember, others are watching. They're watching how we view the Word of God, how we handle it, how much value we place upon it. They're watching. They're wanting to see whether in discussions there's more of I think than there is the Bible says. It's easy for all of us from time to time to, in making a comment, to say, well, I think. But it'd probably be better if we minimize those kinds of statements as much as we can. And say, well, here's what the Bible says over here in such a verse. Instead of saying, I think. Because after a while, we're going to give the impression what the Bible says is not all that important. It's what that fellow thinks about it. And that, I don't think, is what we're trying to convey, but it could be taken that way. Teach it to others. And one day, we're all going to be accountable for our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For us all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Give account of the deeds we've done in the body, whether good or bad. And in view of that, we're going to stand before God, so is everybody else. And so they need to know, and of course we need to know, but they need to know what to do so that on that day they will find themselves acceptable to God. And then we live it out in our lives. We don't really teach it. In fact, if you're a teacher, you've got to be living it. That's, again, over there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we looked at verse 13 already. Verse 12 talks about Timothy being an example. He said, be an example, Timothy, of the believer. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. That pretty well covers every aspect of our life. Be an example to others. In verse 15, he said, take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will receive salvation both for yourself and those who hear you. Important. Very, very important. Again, others are watching what we say and what we do. Getting it wrong and passing it along. Have you gotten it wrong? You ever find yourself having to say, well, you know what, I was sure wrong about that. I think most of us have. And that's a healthy sign. And we study and we come to a conclusion and we believe that's what the Bible said, but always be open to considering something else. Have you passed it along? You get it right, we need to pass it along. Certainly don't want to get it wrong and pass it along. Again, if you're here and you need to make a response to the invitation to heaven, we give you that opportunity now as we stand and we sing together.